Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It's time for Let's Talk About Jesus, our weekly Bible study right here on our website. We want to thank you right now for joining us today. As the scriptures tell us as Christians, particularly those of us living under the pressures of the end times or the last days, which we are living in prophetically right here and right now. Listen. This is a very important message today, and we're glad that you have joined us, for we are told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but much more as we see the day approaching, exhorting one another. That's the purpose of our gathering together around the Word of God and gathering together with other Christians. Going to church is not just about buildings, books, and budgets. This is about our spiritual edification and instruction and an opportunity to encourage one another. And in particular, in the context of the last times, knowing that the coming of Christ is near, knowing that the tribulation is threatening and coming very soon, we need to strongly encourage one another. That's what exhortation means. And that's why this message today is to be a strong encouragement to those of us who are experiencing the weariness of the last day global circumstances, men's hearts failing them for fear, looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. We're seeing before our eyes the fulfillment of the prophecies concerning the conditions just before Christ returns and just before the great tribulation breaks upon the whole world. And we are told very clearly in the book of Revelation to the church of Philadelphia, write, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, that it will come to try all the inhabitants of the earth. Praise God, friend of mine. So this is the message today that we want to bring you, titled A Crucial Message to the Weary and the Faint-Hearted. When the Bible spoke of perilous times coming in the last days because of what men shall become in attitude and activity, the lawlessness, the hatred of Christians, the mindset of the world that is so contrary to every reasonable thinking person. Woe to those that call evil good and good evil. We're seeing it right now. And put light for darkness and darkness for light. And it's going to accelerate as we get closer to the coming of Jesus. Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So this scripture today in Jeremiah 12 and verse 5, it begins the message, and we have to ask ourselves the same question that was being asked of Jeremiah. Listen, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? I like the Amplified. It says the Lord rebukes Jeremiah for his impatience, saying, if you have raced with the men on foot and they have tired you out, then how can you compete with horses? If you fall down in a land of peace wherein you feel secure, then how will you do among the lions in the flooded thicket beside the Jordan? Listen, friend, there are two questions here and two points that is to be gotten across. And we need to look at both of these questions and answer them, amen, with instruction from the Word of God. If thou hast run with the footmen, they have wearied thee. How are we going to contend? How shall you and I contend with horses? The connotation is this. You're running in a marathon. By the way, we are running in a marathon. We're told in the New Covenant to run with patience, perseverance, the race that is set before us. Set before us. We're supposed to run this race of life, fulfilling every purpose of God in Christ to the very end. They that endure, this is not a wind sprint. This is not just having an emotional commitment to Christ because we feel sorry and pity for Him and we want to show Him that, yeah, we'll serve you because poor old you, Jesus, what they did to you, I feel sorry for you. No, the emotion won't carry you through this. It takes deep devotion to Him. It takes denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Him. Amen. Through thick or thin, through threat or peril of life itself. Amen. It takes a deep devotion to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Listen, for no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. That doesn't mean we don't take care of our responsibilities, be responsible on our job, take care of our families. It does mean that we do not just live as if we're not in a crisis and the nearness of the coming of the Lord is near and that we are in dangerous days. That's what perilous means. It means outrageous and dangerous times. And it connotates the reducing of the strength. The reducing of the strength. During the tribulation, there will be those that actually come to the Lord, but it will cost them their life in order to name the name of Jesus Christ and resist and reject the mark of the beast. See what is relevant to us today? If you think, well, listen, preacher, I know if anybody's going to come to Jesus, if I miss the coming of Christ, the rapture, the catching away, not the second coming, the secret coming for His bride, the midnight cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh, then I'll get saved during the tribulation. Listen, if you run with the foot If you run with the footman and you got weary, if you can't take it and you can't make it, you're putting off that decision. By the way, you may not make it into the great tribulation because you may get in a car wreck, your heart may stop, you're a breath away, a heartbeat away from eternity, and you need to be saved today. You need to be sealed with the Holy Spirit so He can keep you safe from the wrath to come. Hallelujah. Friend, if you can't live for Jesus now, in these perilous times, these end times, how do you expect to resist the temptation to take the mark when you're starving to death? You can't buy and you can't sell. And if you keep the testimony of Jesus, it will cost you your life. But if you take the mark of the beast, it will seal you for hell, for eternity, with the Antichrist and the false prophet and the wicked. These are serious times we're living in. You don't need pablum on Sunday morning. You don't need milk on Sunday morning unless you're a babe and a brand new believer. And if you're a babe and a brand new believer in Christ, you need those who are strong in the Lord to help you along. Lift up the hands that hang down. You that are spiritual, if someone stumbles, you that are spiritual, restore such a one. You need to be in a church where everybody's not babies crying for more milk, but there are people in there that say, listen, we have grown on the meat of the Word, and we're going to be here to encourage you to graduate from milk to meat. Hallelujah. I want to be challenged today in the Word of God. I want to be a warrior for Christ. I want to be a strong spiritual warrior in intercession today. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. Though we walk in the flesh, we war not after the flesh. Amen. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Glory be to God. Listen, this is the question that is asked. Suppose you're running in a marathon. You're doing well. You're keeping up. You're not far out in front, but you're not lagging behind either. As the race progresses, you begin to get tired, wearied, as the scripture puts it. A few runners are starting to pass you. Then all of a sudden, a man comes up beside you on a horse, looks down at you and says, "Want to race?" You give it a little gas, but the horse speeds off. Soon another horse and rider comes up beside you and passes by. Then another, then another. And then you begin to realize you're just a footman. You don't have a horse to ride. You're being passed up and you're being wore out trying to keep up. I'm going to make a statement to you today. If you're going to keep up in this race of life, in the end times and the end time conditions, then we're going to need to grow up spiritually, to graduate from the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word, that we might be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Praise God. That's why the whole armor of God is made available. But we must grow up spiritually so that we take it and apply it to every part of our life, that we might be able to stand in the evil day. In particular, the day when we are challenged. Not in the day when we're just jogging along and with everyone else and we're all just, you know, headed for the finish line, but no one is winded and no one is weary and we'll just keep a little slow pace. No, this is a time to run full out. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. If we're going to keep up, we must grow up spiritually. Praise God. Question 2, if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Here's the situation. Living in the land of peace, of course, there's sin all around us. But for the most part, life is peaceful. People can sit on their porch on a sunny afternoon. They can watch their kids play in the yard, wave at the neighbors when they walk by or drive by. This is an average day for the average Christian in a normal situation. The rain comes. The Jordan River begins to flood. The waters rise. When the waters rise, the wild beasts come up from the river's banks looking for food. They're driven inland. And after them, the floodwaters come. And our peaceful existence turns into one where we are now looking to survive the flood and the lion. Listen, the scripture says of the devil, he goeth about as a roaring lion. That means hungry. He's not trying to intimidate. He don't want to just fill you with fear. He wants to destroy you. He wants to consume you. He's a roaring lion. Roaring with hunger would be the connotated Greek word that is used there. So he's looking for someone to devour. And what if we're surviving in this more or less peaceful time, if we're just getting by and we're already getting worn down, amen, what are we going to do when Jordan comes over its banks? What are we going to do when the flood comes rushing to move our very home in which we take refuge off of its foundation? Listen, I love that scripture in the Old Covenant. Says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And in continuing to read, it says, for a Redeemer shall come to Zion. Jesus is that standard that God raises up to stem the tide of the flood. But you need to be a mature believer to stand your ground. So, amen. In that evil day, that surely will come and is coming. God not only wills us to survive the end times, He's made a full provision that we thrive as victors and not victims in the end time. Listen to what it says in Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 28 through verse 31. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might, He increases strength. Hallelujah. This is for the weary today. Listen, God has a message for you. God has a principle to be observed today in the Word and a practice to be done today by faith. Hallelujah. Didn't the Apostle Paul say in the New Testament that something was wearing him thin, wearing him down, threatening to wear him out? An emissary from Satan was sent to buffet him. That word buffet is like the palm tree. I'm speaking from Tampa, Florida, USA. Here in the South, we're entering into hurricane season. And there are trees in tropical countries and tropical areas like Florida, from Florida South. There are trees that are designed to weather, in particular, those kind of storms. Hardwood trees do not survive hurricane force winds well because they do not bend with the wind. They break under the pressure of the wind. Oh, friend, but palm trees give enough under it to take that gust and then come back and take it again without breaking. That's the idea of being buffeted by the devil. Paul felt the pressure of it, but he wasn't broken by it. He was being sustained by sheer grace and the strength that only God can give. Be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. And Paul felt like, my strength is failing. I may just be wearied to the point of falling into despair and being defeated. And the Lord reminded him, my grace. He asked the Lord to take the problem away. Well, I wish I could tell you that through our politicians and through a political leader, through a religious leader, through people who take the lead that are Christians in Hollywood, that we're going to somehow Christianize our nation and Christianize the world and Christianize our peace around a mainly Christian time. My Bible says prophetically, that's not how it's going to go. We are going to see true Christians not only survive but thrive. But as far as the world is concerned, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We're to take on the whole armor of God as God is, and light and the Scripture and the Bible is pushed out of a culture. It leaves a vacuum to be filled with the demonic and with the satanic. And we're seeing that darkness come upon the world today in America, and we're seeing it around the world. I don't have to go into detail. You see it every day. We read of the outrageous things that people are doing to one another. Families being killed, suicide rates through the roof, people killing people indiscriminately, and they're desperately trying to find out the motive. And in many situations, there is no motive. The only book we have that'll tell us what is happening and why it's happening is the Word of God. In the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall become. Amen. And it's what man is becoming because evil is rushing in. The evil one and his influences is rushing in where there was a time where the gospel and the Judeo-Christian ethic here in America was a major influence, and our entire culture where there was the Pledge of Allegiance and the mention of God. There was prayer in schools. There was even Bible readings in schools. And now you can bring in every kind of sinful book, but you can't have the Bible on a shelf. Even in Red Square in Russia some years ago, you were able to bring Bibles in and give them out in a Marxist communist country. But you can't do it in a school, public school in America, or on in some of our college campuses. The Bible in a once religious institution, in particular a Christian college, the Bible is under attack, and I have heard of some instances where the Bible is removed from that particular library because of the influence of the world that is so subversive and perversive today, that it comes in and presses out the light. Friend of mine, that's so negative, but I'm telling you, there's victory for you and me. If we grow up in God and we make not just an emotional commitment to Christ, but a deep, devoted commitment to Christ, He giveth power to the faint. This is the principle that Paul discovered in the New Covenant, and we need to discover, rediscover today if we're becoming weary. The Apostle Paul prayed 3 times to get rid of the buffeting of persecution. There was no answer. God was going to take him through, not take him from. He's going to take us from when Jesus comes. Until then, we're to run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Praise God. And this is how we run with perseverance in those kind of circumstances, under the heaviness of temptation and persecution and the weariness of it all. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might, He increases strength. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. This is not just power to do, but power to be, and in particular, power to endure. When the Scripture says, as Paul put it, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, it's not about the charismata, the gifts of the Spirit. I can heal the sick, I can prophesy, I can do this and that under the supernatural anointing. This literally means, and personally and practically meant to him and should be to us, I am equal to any test. I am equal to any circumstance. And that's what he was discovering when heaven was quiet, when he was praying that God would remove this thorn in the flesh, this buffeting spirit that came to buffet him. And when God finally saw his impatience and answered him, he told him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." When you have no other recourse but to fully trust in me for your victory, you will not only survive, you will thrive. Hallelujah. Because he what? Giveth power to the faint. And to them that have some might, he adds his to our little to make it a lot. No, to them that hath no might, he increases strength. Listen to verse 30. Even the youths shall faint. Those with the strength to run. Have you ever seen a young person out running full out? And if you're like me, getting way, way past the 70, I'm 76. I thought, boy, that's in a galaxy far, far away and a time long, long ago. I could run for a little bit, but I couldn't keep that pace for long. I could run from something or run after something in a wind sprint type of run for just a little bit, but I couldn't keep it up for long now, unless I was supernaturally enabled to. Hallelujah. Listen, even the youth shall run and faint and be weary. and the young men shall utterly fall, even in their strength. But listen, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. They that wait upon the Lord. This is not a passive word. This is an active faith word. This is a persevering word, not a patience word in the sense of just taking a number and waiting our turn. This is a seeking of God, a trusting in God. This is faith in action. This is pursuing and persevering here. They that look and wait, they that wait upon the Lord. In the actual Greek, it comes from a root that is active and not passive, to bind together by twisting. What did Scripture say about that? A three-stranded cord is not easily broken because it is entwined with others. When we take our need for strength and we entwine that by faith with God's promise of His power and other Christians' encouragement and our encouragement to them, and we have a three-stranded cord, which is not easily broken because God is wrapped around. I like that old camp, that exciting camp meeting type of singing that said, I'm wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Are you wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus? Are you seeking the Lord today for that He promised you and I? To them that hath no might, He increases strength. The Apostle Paul said, I found this principle. When I am weak, then am I made strong. And then he made another statement and said, I'll take pleasure in that seemed to be an overwhelming pressure to me. I'm gonna take this as a badge of authenticity. This buffeting will not break me, and I don't have to have the wind stop for me to have victory and thrive. I will thrive in the midst of this storm because of the sufficiency of His grace and because of His power that is available to make me equal to it. Hallelujah. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12 as we close today. Wherefore, seeing that we are also compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Once again, not the take a number kind. It's the persevering word here. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your own minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, not just the pain, as we would see the most horrendous thing we could imagine is being nailed to that cross and staying on it for 6 solid hours of suffering like no one could even imagine in our best concepts of what it must be like to be crucified. But friend of mine, it said He despised even more than the pain was the shame. And the Scripture says, for as much as Jesus has suffered for us like that, arm yourself with the same mindset. Hallelujah. Listen. to be forearmed with this mindset, lest what? Lest we be wearied and faint in our own mind. We are to consider Him and His suffering for us, and have a deep devotion, not just emotionally respond in pity and pathos, but have a deep devotion to Him. For as much as He has suffered for us, let us arm ourselves with the same mind or mindset. For he that suffered in the flesh, if we crucify the flesh and the lusts thereof, he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Hallelujah. Praise God. That means sin doesn't have dominion anymore. Sin doesn't reign and in our mortal bodies to fulfill it in the lust thereof. So we're able to run unencumbered because we're laying aside the sin that does so easily beset us. We're not weary in our mind because we're arming ourselves with the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Who though he saw himself in reality, he was equal with God. He took on himself the form of a servant, humbled himself, and took on himself the form of a servant, and was obedient even unto the death of the cross. Therefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name above every name that's named of things in heaven, earth, and beneath the earth, that at the sound of his name every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Hallelujah. This is a time, dear friend, to not be discouraged, to not be faint-hearted, to them that hath no might. God is ready to increase our strength by His grace and through His Son, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, and through the mighty Holy Spirit. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Praise God. Not just power to do, but power to be, and importantly, in the end times as well, power to endure, power to thrive, and not just survive. Praise God. Dear friend of mine, I want the meat of the Word. I want that will challenge me, stimulate me to be deeply devoted to the Lord, devoted enough to my Sovereign, my King, and my Savior, Jesus Christ, to my Father and my God. Hallelujah, that I will deny myself, take up my cross and follow Him all the way to the end of my days, and then live with Him forever and follow Him till Jesus comes, if He comes in my day. Hallelujah. To be ready for the coming of Jesus. Dear friend of mine, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, the Bible said you're without hope and without God in the world. You're without the grace you need, the strength you need. Some people feeling the pressure of these perilous times are turning to alcohol, to drugs, to all kinds of perversion, sexually and otherwise. Every sensual sin to try to numb us, to try to just get so inebriated with the things of the world that we're not so keenly aware of the hopelessness, the darkness, the despair that is settling in all around us. Today, there is hope in God, and there is hope in Jesus Christ, solo Cristo. Only Jesus can give you this. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author, the finisher of our faith, the one who began the good work, who promised to complete it until the day of His very coming, the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's God that worketh in us. So today I urge you that are weary, broken-hearted, faint-hearted, trust in the Lord today. For they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. For as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people to deliver us. Hallelujah. Let's stand up. Let's rise up. And let's run full out. Let's finish our course. Be ready for the coming of the Lord. And if you don't know Him, He wants to save you, seal you, keep you safe from the wrath to come. Repent of your sins today. Receive Jesus as your Savior, your Lord and Savior, and be saved in Jesus' name.